Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Your Bible, let me see it. Lift it up in the air. Hold it up in the air. If it's on your phone, that's fine. If it's on your phone, come on, lift up your Bible. Keep it up in the air. Let me see it. Say, this is my Bible. Say, I am what he says I am. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. It's the second book in the New Testament, about three quarters of the way through the Bible. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Been kind of living out of the book of Mark as of recent. But we're going to be talking about the ministry of Jesus, him calling the disciples, and him casting out a demon. We'll be reading about that a little bit later today, but Mark chapter 1, verse 14, reads as follows. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The time has come. What time? The time that Jesus has ordained. Can I tell you, right now could be Jesus' time. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon. Simon was the name of Peter, the apostle. Many scholars believe that the book of Mark is actually Peter's gospel that he dictated through Mark, and John Mark wrote it down. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Same occupation in a way, different purpose. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat. Family businesses. I love family businesses. I grew up in a family business. Nothing wrong with the family business. You don't always have to go far from home to be quote unquote successful. They left their father. Without delay, he called them, that's a word that is used. Some of your Bibles may say immediately. It's just showing the big points of what Jesus did, the book of Mark does. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I want to talk to you today about just a revelation that I believe has transformed my life, and I've lived out probably the last 8 years. And it's this idea of being comfortable, and really the goal of the Holy Spirit in our life is to make us like Jesus. How many of y'all would agree with that? Like by a show of hands, like the Holy Spirit desires to make us like Jesus. And unfortunately, the only way that he can make us like Jesus is to confront the things that are not like Jesus. We see Jesus going and calling Simon and Andrew and John and James out of a perceived comfortable place into their calling. And I believe in order for you to be awakened, to come alive in Christ, you have to allow Jesus to confront your comfort. If you're taking notes today, that's what we're talking about today. Confront your comfort. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is in this place, as it is sharper than a double-edged sword to divide bone and marrow, penetrating to our innermost being. Let the words of Jesus be revealed today, that we would see who you are and what you came to do in our lives. Help me to get out of the way, that the Holy Spirit would minister to your people. And we pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, if there's anything in our lives that we have grown comfortable with that is not of your design, we pray right now that the Holy Spirit would do what he does best. And it's convicting the world, that it would be confronting our mindsets that do not align with your design. We give you permission right now. Have your way in our lives. And right now, church, if you're hungry for the Lord to speak to you, would you open up your hands and say these words after me? Say, Heavenly Father, speak to me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of God in this place. You can be seated. You can be seated. This will be a good message to take notes on. Not that other messages aren't good messages to take notes on. But I'm just going to dive right into it, as I like to do. is that Jesus is calling many people out of their comfort zone. To misunderstand the reason why Jesus came will be to miss when he comes. You'll actually miss what he's trying to do in your life. And that's a lot of problems with our pursuit after God, is that we don't often understand his function within our lives and the Holy Spirit's function within our lives. A lot of us relate to Christ as in his ability to bring us comfort. A lot of us have relationships in our lives that we have left because they have made us uncomfortable. A lot of us have left situations, businesses, different types of environments because they have made us uncomfortable. Can I tell you that Jesus made a lot of people uncomfortable? He made a lot of people comfortable to an extent, but he also made a lot of people uncomfortable. He fed people. He fed them, you could say, comfort food. Not really, it was bread and fish, but there came a point in his ministry where he said something very uncomfortable. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Can I tell you that Jesus has a role in your life, and that is not to comfort you, but it is actually to confront the things in your life that are keeping you back from being transformed into his image. Now, you may be saying, Pastor Eli, isn't like the Holy Spirit here to comfort us? Yeah, a role of the Holy Spirit is referred to as a comforter, but also a role of the Holy Spirit is to continue the work of Jesus's ministry. As John 16:8 says, when he comes, he will convict the world in all sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, I love the comfort that God brings, but a role of Jesus was not comfort. It was actually confrontation. He came not wielding just love, but he also came to bring a sword. He came to confront things in our lives. He came to confront a system that ultimately was keeping people in bondage. This is important because if we misunderstand the reason Jesus came, we will miss him when he inevitably reveals himself to us through the means we were not anticipating. If we do not see the presence of Jesus in our lives as a confrontation to our comfort, we will begin to associate the presence of God in our lives with comfort, and the influence of the devil with confrontation and conflict. But sometimes, can I tell you that it is the devil giving you comfort, and it is actually God leading you into conflict, because he desires a confrontation with the things that are holding you back to his image. Conflict, if you're taking notes, write this down. Conflict is actually God's method of transformation, while comfort is the devil's pathway to complacency. Because to be transformed means to confront who you are and how you think with who you have been called to be and reflect. Let me say that one more time. That conflict is actually God's method of transformation, while comfort is the devil's pathway to complacency. To be transformed means to confront who you are and how you think with who you have been called to be and reflect. Maybe you find yourself here today and you have been blaming the devils for God's handiwork. To come into your calling, can I tell you, it will require you to come out of your comfort zone. So we pick up back where we left off in the book of Mark chapter 1, that Peter had to leave his nets. We see Andrew had to leave his nets. James and John had to leave their father, poor Zebedee, just over in the boat cleaning out the nets. Notice this, that Jesus was calling them to do the same thing, fishing, but not for profit, but for purpose. Now, when God calls you, can I tell you, he doesn't always call you to change your career. I want to speak against something that I've seen in church at times on this idea of calling and what God has called you to do. Can I tell you that your calling is not about your address? Your calling is not about your location or your vocation. Your calling is about vision. It's about a revelation and the level that you see the gifting God has placed on your life. A calling to be a pastor without a revelation of what a pastor really is negates the preparation that God wants to take you through in order to deliver you to the position that he has for you. Do not confuse calling with a position. It's not a location. It's not a vocation. It is actually a revelation of who you are and what Christ is doing in you. Well, you could say, Pastor Eli, I want to be like Peter. And he called me out upon the water where feet may fail. No, that's the wrong line. I screwed that up. I want to be like Peter, and I want to walk out on the water. He was still a disciple. He actually went back to the boat with a different revelation of who Jesus was. Your calling is not about doing something different. It's about doing it with a different mentality. It's about doing something. Your calling is not about, man, I was called to be a quote-unquote missionary. But you're not a missionary here. You want to be an evangelist? Start with your neighbor. You want to be a pastor? Start with your family. The Bible talks about in the book of Titus. I might get on a little bit of a rant here, right? Like, it's about who you are, not about what you're doing. It's about who you are and what you are called to do in the moment. Because if you get fixated on what you're called to do, you'll actually negate what you have been entrusted with. And there are times, yeah, when God calls you to change location. Yes, sure. But it's not as often as we think it is. Because wherever you go, there you are. And God's calling is more about who you are rather than what you do. If you ever want to be able to be entrusted with what God has asked you to do, do not get caught up in a destination, but actually be given over to the idea of a journey with God. What happens once you achieve, quote unquote, that calling? Are you done? No, in my entire life, I am going to be walking with God. So I don't necessarily believe that calling is a destination as much as it is an identity. We see the disciples, they had a certain level of desire to be used by God. Can I tell you, it's okay to have that desire to be used by God. But do not confuse a person with a mic or a person with an instrument or a person with a title as being effective. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. The fact that God has entrusted you with something means that it is significant. Do not undermine what he has entrusted you with trying to get what he has for you, that you actually are not considered faithful with what he's already given you. We see the disciples, they have this level of desire to be used by God. That's good. That is good to be used by God. But I want you to know today that God can use you right where you're at. He can use you right where you're at, but not if you've grown comfortable with where you're at. He calls these disciples. They had a certain set of skills. They were fishermen. But God was going to develop them into their ultimate calling. But in order for them to be developed into their calling, they had to forsake their comfort. We typically want both. We want abs with no planks. But in order to get a development in your muscle, you have to put in the work. Everyone say, put in the work. You have to put in the work, which is oftentimes uncomfortable. Coming into your calling means to come out of your comfort zone. Notice that the disciples did not necessarily move or relocate. They were still in the Galilee region. They went around with Jesus, and we go back to Mark. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1 at the beginning. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. We see the disciples joining Jesus in this call to repent. This idea of repenting was not meant to go around and tell people to start just feeling bad about what they've done or where they've been, but it was more about this idea of changing your mind. It was changing the way you're thinking about what you do, changing the way to see that his ways are higher and that we're called to submit under his authority. To repent, can I tell you, to change the way that you think about the reason that you're here right now. Change the way you think about what you're going through. Change the way you think about who God really is as the seat of authority in your life. To repent means to take what you have at this moment and saying, God, I give this over to you. To be able to look at what you have, whether it be a level of let's say, sinful patterns in your life, to not just say, you know what, this is just my burden I have to bear, but to say, God, this is actually wrong, I give this over to you. To maybe take this moment and not treat your business as just a means to an end, but to say, Lord, I repent for looking at it with disdain. Actually, God, I give it to you. If you look at your kids with a level of disdain, can I tell you, that's what they will be. But if you say, Lord, I give you these blessings from heaven, the Bible calls them arrows in your quiver. If I take these blessings saying, God, I give them to you, to take a moment and repent from the mindset that you used to have about your life, to say, God, I repent from that, that takes a level of confrontation to what you were used to. Jesus says, follow me. He says, walk in faith, and he tells the disciples to forsake the familiar. The greatest enemy of faith, can I tell you, is not fear. It is actually familiarity. If you're taking notes, that'd be something good to write down. That the greatest enemy to your faith is familiarity. Why? Because God can actually use your fear. Fear, when I was in Bible college, I actually had to write a paper, and I was so convinced that doubt was the opposite of faith. And it was a 10-page essay that as I dove into it, I realized that doubt was actually the vessel of which faith was revealed through. That fear can actually be used, and I know I'm kind of using those as in tandem with one another, but just know that fear can actually be used to drive you to faith because you no longer are trusting in the outcome, you're trusting in the one who's over the outcome. But if you are familiar, it causes you not to activate your faith. This is what familiarity can do. It can keep you stuck in predictable patterns. And because they are comfortable, you will stay in them until someone comes to confront it and call you out. Familiarity will keep you stuck in predictable patterns. I'm speaking to some people that may feel stuck today, that maybe you feel a little bit stuck in some things in your life. Maybe you feel stuck in your purpose. Maybe you feel stuck in your calling. You feel stuck in your marriage. Maybe you feel stuck in you're just the drive of your life, and you feel like you're just going through the motions, or need I say, just putting up with what is coming into your life. I'm going to speak to some people that may feel stuck today. Can I tell you, God wants to be able to confront that today. He wants to be able to call you out. The reason why we stay stuck is because it's comfortable. It's predictable. So open up your Bibles if you have them. Keep them open in Mark chapter 1. We're going to continue reading. We're going to go to chapter 1, verse 21. This is right after Jesus called the disciples, Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Verse 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. This word Capernaum is Kafir Nahum, like the prophet Nahum. It's village, Kaper is Kafir, village, Nahum is comfort. It was the village of comfort. Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, steps in to the village of comfort. Can I tell you, Jesus's ministry in your life, he will step into what you deem as comfortable, and he will call out purpose. He will call out the things that you just put up with. And he'll say, this doesn't belong. He'll start reorganizing things in your life. He'll start reorganizing mindsets. He'll start reorganizing beliefs, not to be transformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the powerful word of God. God will confront things that you have grown comfortable with. Let's go into verse 22. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. They saw him as a teacher, but they are about to see him as Christ the Messiah. Wow, this person has some great teaching. Wow, he teaches with authority. Wow, this is a great teacher. Can I tell you, if you treat it as just a teaching, you'll never give it permission to transform your life. If you treat Jesus as just a moral teacher, you'll never actually see him as Lord, and you'll never actually give him permission to transform your life. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Has you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. So here Jesus is proclaiming the words of God. He's communicating the authority of Scripture. He's communicating, but then he takes a moment to demonstrate the Spirit's power. Can I tell you, the best way to proclaim the power of God is not necessarily through communication, but it's actually through demonstration. It's through God's power in your life. I don't know who he is quite yet, but what I do know is I was blind and now I see. I do know what I have gone through. I may not be there yet, but I know who I used to be. To be able to preach that can preach 1,000 sermons. I could grab a mic and I could communicate to 100 people, but you also have hundreds of people of influence in your businesses, at your homes, in your families, also in through your social media, to be able to proclaim God's goodness and what he's done in your life. That's a demonstration of the Spirit's power, but also to let the Holy Spirit flow through you. Can I tell you that you're also meant to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit? To be able to get to the point where to fulfill Jesus's ministry and continue Jesus's ministry, Jesus speaks to this unclean spirit and says, come out in Jesus' name. Where did he speak it at? Where was he at? He was in Capernaum in a synagogue. That would have been the church of that time period. There was a man who, we don't know how long he had been coming to this synagogue. We don't know how long he had been a part of this gathering, this congregation. But what we do know is that there was something in his life that he grew comfortable with. And Jesus stepped in the middle of the comfort city, the village of comfort, and confronted what everyone else was comfortable with. I tell you that Jesus is wanting to speak to you today through the Holy Spirit, and he wants to confront the things in your life. How is it possible that this man could have been at church every single week, but still possessed by something that was holding him back? Can I tell you, there are things in your life. Now, demons are still real, by the way, if you maybe believe that doctrine that they're not. They're still real, but we just don't call them demons anymore. We just call them dysfunctions. We just call them patterns. I just have a habitual habit, right? Like I just have this problem. But we need to take a moment and say, have we started to grow comfortable with what God has called us out from? Jesus says, come out. He looks at the man and he says, come out in Jesus' name. There are things in our lives, and I believe as a church, that God is not calling us to compromise with. Last week, we talked a lot about the Word of God and that the Word of God is our authority and our truth. And I believe as your pastor, it is a role that I have been given by God to be able to confront things that we have grown comfortable with as a church, as individuals, as a society, as a culture, as a nation, as a world, that if it does not line up with the Word of God, we need to be able to have the courage to say, come out in Jesus' name. What have you grown comfortable with? What have you grown comfortable with and now you're relabeling it as a dysfunction when God has transformation available for you? God wants to awaken us to come alive in Christ, but we have grown so comfortable with our patterns, with our thought patterns, with our dysfunctions, with our sinful behavior, and Jesus is calling you to wake up and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to confront our comfort is the beginning of transformation. Some of y'all right now, I can feel like, is the pastor going to start calling out things in my life? No, I don't necessarily do that. The Holy Spirit already does that. I can tell you, if we're following the Holy Spirit and we're following God, and we're yielding over to the Holy Spirit, he's already working on things in our life. My fear is that we become numb to what the Holy Spirit is prodding on. That we become numb to what he's calling out. And we've numbed out the voice of the Holy Spirit, and now we've grown comfortable with just doing the church thing. And we basically put limits on God's transformational work in our life because to be confronted means that I'll actually have to change. But I got news for you, my friend, that as you yield over to the Holy Spirit and you give him permission through your vulnerability, honesty, your transparency, that it's actually not you that brings the transformation. It's actually him. That as you read the word of God and you say, Lord, show me who you are, that you're not reading the pretext into the text. You're saying, Lord, show me who you are. Transform me. Holy Spirit, renew me. Renew my mind. That as you give the Holy Spirit permission to do that on a daily basis, that he actually does start to do that from the inside out. Do not confuse transformation from outward in. It's actually inward out. That's why it's important that you're in the word of God on a daily basis. That's why it's important that you're in a Bible-believing community, sharpening one another with the word of God, challenging one another, encouraging one another. That's why it's important that as much as we are in the world, that we are not thinking like the world does, that we also have to be in the word of God so that we can think how God does. What have you grown comfortable with and you've actually numbed out God's work in your life because it would be too much work? I want to tell you, it's not work. The Holy Spirit will transform it as you yield, but you do have to come forward. You got to come forward. You got to be able to bring it before him. And so the devil's strategy for keeping us defeated is to call us to comfort ourselves. And there's times in my life where I've actually fallen into this sinful trap, and it's actually enjoyable to comfort myself. You want to feel the best way? You want to know the best way? I want to give you some life advice here. That's probably not good advice, so don't really follow it. But the best way to feel good about yourself is to talk bad about someone else. The best way to feel good about yourself? Just go to a friend. It's all over online, isn't it? All these reactionary videos, and then there's reactionary videos on reactionary videos. You ever find yourself talking bad about someone else?
Yeah.
Just me? I got 2, 3, 4. All right, okay, all right. We're an honest church in this place, right? It's comfortable. Is it? It's comfortable to be able to talk bad about someone. You know what else is comfortable? To indulge in my insecurities on why I can't be used by God. I have a past. I've done things before. Things have happened to me before, right? It's comfortable, and the devil wants to keep us comfortable. Now, you'll find many commands in the Bible for us to comfort others. You will find many things about God comforting us. But I wasn't really able to find anything about God's command for us to comfort ourselves. To be able to just comfort ourselves. And I want to share with you a passage in 2 Corinthians 1:3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." You say, there it is, Pastor Eli. Right there, the God of all comfort. Get this. "Who comforts us in all of our troubles." So he comes to comfort us in our troubles. So troubles are not the absence of God's purpose in your life, but it's actually a part of it. To be able to be developed by God means to confront the things that I've grown comfortable with. And when they're confronted, guess what? That's where the comfort comes. Comfort comes after confrontation. Get this. So who comforts us in all of our troubles, that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. See, the devil wants you to be comfortable in your sinful patterns. He wants to comfort you until you no longer see it as a problem and that you'll be in a synagogue. But then, can I tell you, Jesus shows up. He wants to keep you comfortable until it becomes so normal that you can come to church. You can come to church putting up with an evil spirit. You can take him to lunch. You can take notes, but never take action. And I'm calling this church to be a church that takes action with the things in our lives that we've grown comfortable with. Comfort can become a problem when we get it in the wrong place. We get it from the wrong place, from the wrong people. Like you've never eaten the whole tub of ice cream. Let me say it a different way. Comfort can be a bad thing when we get it from the wrong people. There are people in your life that are good to you, but they are not good for you. When you're talking to people or they're talking to you and they just make me feel comfortable, but it's gone down some dark paths of gossip and borderline slander. The Bible takes that very serious. I had a situation in my life where someone shared some news with me, and I've learned now, it was news they were sharing with me about something that someone shared with them about me. That's how twisted it is. I want to give you some life advice here. Rather than asking, why did they say that about me? Just have the ability to confront what could possibly be uncomfortable in your relationship with that person and ask them, why do you think that person was comfortable with you sharing that with you about me? When someone's sharing with you about someone else, why do you think they are comfortable with you sharing with you something about them? I never have anyone share anything bad with me about my wife. They wouldn't get a good response from me. They know that I would defend her. And I want to encourage you as this church that you have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to be able to put to stop things that have the appearance of good intention but are actually rooted in deception, in division. To be able to just put it, this isn't my message today, but just to have the wisdom to be able to say, why are they sharing this with me? And to be able to just put it at an end there. Hey, I just appreciate it. You don't need to tear this person down. And you can be as aggressive as you want. I don't appreciate you tearing down my friend to my face. But just to have the wisdom to know, why are people comfortable with tearing down people to me? You got to be able to have the wisdom to start saying, enough is enough. I'm not going to be comfortable with that anymore because it's not right. It's not biblically right. Can I just ask you a question as we get ready to close here today? Can it be possible that your comfort is keeping you from your calling because you haven't given permission to God to confront the things that he used to? And this is what will happen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So the way that God actually brings a confrontation to the things that you've grown comfortable with is by trouble. It's a level of shaking, because he's trying to work through your life and develop you to be like Jesus, and you haven't fully given him permission just to speak to you. So I want everyone to stand to their feet this morning. God will use trouble actually to bring you into your calling. He will disrupt your comfort to confront your patterns that don't align with his will. Maybe the trouble that you're experiencing in your life is actually the means by which God is bringing transformation. Now, as long as you associate with Jesus with comfort, you'll actually miss him, because Jesus comes to actually confront, not condemn, but to confront. The Spirit of Christ will confront things in your life that you have been too comfortable with. That man sat in that church for too long. I know it was a synagogue, but for too long, and became comfortable until Jesus showed up. The demons knew who showed up. The people missed who he was. They were amazed, but they missed why he came. The demons knew why he came and were uncomfortable. If there's some things in your life, when I've been speaking about those are the things that you're actually called to lay at the foot of the cross. I'm not talking about that you need to be able to go out and you need to be able to just shriek and yell, although that's a possibility. Can I tell you the loudest form of surrender to Jesus is actually in the heart. Don't get distracted by outward. There's a lot of people I've seen worship outward, but they were doing a lot of sinful things in their heart. So we don't look at the outward, although man does look at the outward, but for ourselves personally, we look at the heart. And I want to take a moment here just to reflect on Christ with every head bowed. I do this because it can put off distractions. I want you to take a moment between you and Jesus. And I want you to give permission to the Holy Spirit right now. If there's anything, as David said, search my heart, Lord. Let me know if there's anything that you've grown comfortable with, that you've put off limits for Jesus to confront. This is what it means to repent. This is what it means to have a heart of repentance before the Lord. And I want you to be able to lay it at his feet. I want to be able to speak to the person that is aware that Jesus saved you from your sin, but hasn't fully come to see that he freed you from it as well. I want you to know today that he freed you from it. For those that have been living in a level of regret or hatred to past relationships, I speak in Jesus' mighty name that you need to come out. For those who have been living in an event that has happened in your past, I'm here to tell you today to come out. For those who have been living in a complacent place in your pursuit of Jesus, I'm telling you today to come out. This is an official eviction notice to complacent attitudes, sinful patterns, to come out in Jesus' mighty name. And if the Spirit of the Lord is here, which it is, there is power to find freedom. So I want you today, right now, whether symbolically with your heart, I like to just put my hand on my heart and to say, Lord, I give you to those things that I've grown comfortable with, those mindsets that don't align with your word. Right now, I come before you today, Heavenly Father, and I pray that you would continue to transform us, awaken us to come alive in Christ. Lord, that there wouldn't be anything in our life that is off limits. The things that we've grown comfortable with, that we think is just our worldview, but it doesn't line with your word. That we've grown comfortable with, whether it be sinful patterns, sinful mindsets, complacent attitudes, lukewarmness. God, I pray that you would break our heart for what breaks yours. That we wouldn't just say, this sinful thing is just something I do, but we would actually see it for the root of which it came from, that it was derived from the pit of hell itself, and that it separates us from you, and that our motivation would not be to try harder, but it would be to trust more in your transformative work in our lives. That we would yield over to you, Holy Spirit, in your work in our lives. That there wouldn't be a single thing. This is a dangerous prayer to pray, my friend, but it's so beautiful. Lord, there wouldn't be a single thing that is off limits to you. And just with arms lifted across this place, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I surrender everything that is displeasing to you and lay it at your feet. Confront the complacency. Confront the comfort. Confront anything in my life. I give you permission to confront anything in my life that is holding me back from you. Come out. I'm coming out today. Lord, transform me. Lord, renew me. Lord, awaken me to be transformed into your image. I give you permission. I'm coming to you, Jesus. Transform me. Renew me. Call me. Make me new. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, would you reach out your hand?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.